Coming up, a new beginning in Knott's Landing.
Val, I've been running all my life. I've got to stop sometime.
New neighbors, Laura and Richard Avery. Ginger and Kenny Ward. Karen and Sid Fairgate.
Don't give me orders!
New families with new problems.
Either she goes tomorrow, or I do.
New doubts.
I don't think that we should live here.
Eddie!
Oh, no.
Getting involved again.
How come you hate your daddy so much? I got no one else to hate.
For Val and Gary Ewing, finding new hope. Welcome to their new home.
And welcome. And now, whoops. Okay, welcome to WGN Radio. And she is Joan Van Ark. Hello, Joan. How are you?
Van Ark, without question. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Problems. I mean, you guys had nothing but problems, but it seems as though if there were a Netflix back then, you know how people binge watch? And at the end of these Netflix shows, whether they be comedy shows like Schitt's Creek or dramatic shows, they it's really a cliffhanger at the end of every episode. So people say, oh my gosh, I'm not going to wait till next Tuesday or to tomorrow even. I'm going to watch the next episode. I can't help it right now. Knott's Landing was like that, wasn't it?
Well, I hope it was. I mean, Dallas sort of originated all that, which is where JVA, Joan Van Ark, / Valene Ewing started. But it definitely that was kind of the template for at least the drama shows, you know, leave them wanting more. And especially during this pandemic, when people are looking for product and sort of reviewing, it's taken people back with nostalgia shows and things to rewatch, and that's happened more than ever this past unbelievable nightmare year.
Yeah, you know, I've told so many people that you're gonna be on. I cut a promo, we promoted it, and absolutely, first of all, even if the producer was 20 years old, I mean, these people know exactly who you are. They're familiar with the show. People are watching it. It's timeless in a way. Is it because all these problems we have are timeless? Is it because we need some sort of release and having people with problems maybe more than our own problems? Is that release?
Well, I think it was a mixture of a reality, of a relatability that people connected with, because I think that both Desperate Housewives and Knott's were kind of ahead of their time, and they had characters and situations that were family, like the real people. David Jacobs, who created both shows, Dallas and Knott's Landing, said that that Dallas was about them, that 1% that, you know, furs dripping and diamonds and, you know, the kind of uber wealthy population against the real people, which are the flyover states, and certainly Chicago is right smack dab almost in the middle.
Yeah.
But it's the relatability factor and the family ties and the family situations that were for the viewer something that, ooh, that's like me, or that feels, you know, like something we all went through. So I think that was the plus. They were a bit ahead of their time, both Knott's and Desperate Housewives.
Well, I need to congratulate you as well, because I know in January you and other Knott's Landing staff members,
Donna yeah, and Michelle,
yes,
three of us.
Yeah, so you are now in a museum, even though you're too young to be in a museum, but you're in a museum. That is so cool.
Well, it's the Hollywood Museum, almost on Hollywood and Vine. It's like a block away from Hollywood and Vine, the famous cross section there. And some of our wardrobe and sort of a life-size figure is in this plexiglass kind of container, and wardrobe and, you know, memorabilia from Knott's is there, and it was put on hold because we had a kind of gala opening in February, and it was put on hold, obviously, because in March, we all know what we started into, which is still continuing even to this moment.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called COVID.
Yes, yes, yes. So here's the question everyone wants to know. Will there be a reboot? Don't answer that yet, because this is what we do on radio, too. We just leave them hanging. But we don't come back next week. We just come back after commercials. So we'll be back to the cul-de-sac next on WGN. 220, Steve Dale back with you on WGN. And we are talking to Valene Ewing, Joan Van Ark. We're talking about Knott's Landing and much more than that before we're done. I have to ask you, Valene, or Joan, a very personal question.
Yes.
And this isn't my question. It's 312-981-7200. It's a text. You can call. You could text. And this is a text. Who wants to know? Texter, how many times have you been married?
Oh, my God. You're talking about Valene or Joan?
Yeah, no, Valene.
Joan is married to her high school sweetheart, which is a boring conversation.
That's not. Yes. Hold on. I'll get to. Okay. I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, people think Hollywood marriages, and maybe appropriately, they last about 2 minutes. But
yeah, no, that is appropriate. You're right.
Okay. How long have you been married?
Oh, God, no, we don't go there. Numbers, math, how much do you weigh?
Ask it this way.
Yes.
Is this your high school sweetheart? I think that says enough. Congratulations to you. Wonderful. It has nothing to do with Hollywood, just in the world. It is wonderful. Okay, now, Valene, how many times was Val married?
Okay, one Christmas, this is appropriate here at this moment in this time, I gave pillows to each of the characters with their, married names on. And Valene, even more than Abster, Abby Ewing, the one and only Donna Mills, Valene was married four times, and Donna, Abby, Donna slash Abby, was three times. So I won the multiple marriage sweepstakes by being married four times, four different partners. And if you asked me to name them, I wouldn't have a clue. But I know that it was four times. Gary, it was twice, because Knott's kind of opened with our getting remarried or restating the vows. Because we sort of split apart down in Dallas, on Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spun off and moved to the cul-de-sac in California, which is what became Knott's Landing and Seaview Circle. So that's the end of that one.
Okay, so I need to ask you you are, for folks who may not know this, I mean, yes, you're known. Joan Van Ark is known for this particular role. That's fine. But you've had a wonderful, amazing career. So I want to ask you about acting side by side with Hugh Cronin and Jessica Tandy. Was that like going to acting school?
Well, it was like going to the most elite, the best, the classiest, the most instructive school ever. And I used to go in because that was my first professional job, was at the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis. And I would go in as Hume was transforming from Hume Cronin to the characters, because we played multiple parts. It was a repertory company. And just watch him as an actor go from Hume to the character, the miser, the Molière play, and I learned so much from the two of them. I actually had kind of a thing with their son, Chris Cronin.
What?
Yes. He sort of had a crush on JVA, and it was, very special, and I kept a ring that he gave me that Jessica Tandy later told me was one of hers that he kind of, snuck out of her jewelry box and gave to me. But I loved it. I loved that. It was so, special, because I would attend dinners and things that that Hume and Jesse asked me to post the job in Minnesota at the Guthrie Theater. But it was a school. I mean, I went to Yale for 1 year at age 18, straight out of high school from Boulder, Colorado, to the Yale School of Drama, the graduate school in New Haven, Connecticut. So I was there at 18, and then my first job, which I auditioned for with Doug Campbell and Sir Tyrone Guthrie himself, I got that job, and that's how I got my equity card in Denver at the Elitch Theater. But bottom line is, that was my first foray into live theater, and what a beginning
was. Yeah. Now, is it true that you did a TV pilot back in 1972 with this woman by the name of Bette Davis?
Oh, my goodness. You're naming some of the, you know, the amazing icons. Yes, I did a TV movie that was a pilot, I believe, for a miniseries that she was going to do at Universal Studios. And, whoa, I mean, I had heard horror stories about her, but she was amazing to me and for me because she saved me in a scene I was doing. I was playing a widow of a man that I had murdered, but you aren't supposed to know that, of course, until the, as you call it, cliffhanger ending of the episode, end of the movie. Bottom line was one of my first scenes was with the lawyer going over the will, which I was going to get a truckload of money for, and I knew the scene wasn't working. We were rehearsing it, and it just didn't feel right, and it wasn't clicking, and I knew it wasn't camera ready. And she happened to be standing watching me, which I didn't realize till the end of the rehearsal, and she whispered something to the wardrobe lady, and a few minutes later, the wardrobe lady came back with a black veil and a, you know, black wide-brimmed hat for me to wear in the scene to show that I was a widow in the widow's reeds, you know, in the widow wardrobe. So mm-hmm. right away you have sympathy for my character, and no matter what I say or do, you're going to know I'm grieving, ha, 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 in quotes, grieving over the death of my husband, which I, in fact, you know, facilitated.
So when you are treated that way by a legend saying, here, I'm going to help you, have you thought about that since and paid it forward to other young actors? Maybe even Alec Baldwin, a very young Alec Baldwin on Knots Landing.
Well, Alec, you know, always there was an aura about him that he was the big guy, the one that kind of guided the rest of us. He had a spirit about him and a savvy and a wisdom that I almost feel he did that for me. Huh. Because when I had the first scene with him, and it was in the Ewing living room with Julie and with Alec, and so it was the three of us, I thought, this guy is just extraordinary, special. And there was some kind of magic. And I remember after doing that first scene, I marched right up to David Jacobs' office and said, where did you find this one? He's amazing. And I feel in a way that he, you know, gave that vibe that you're thinking I gave him. Just because he had that magic. He had that special. And obviously the poor guy can't get a job now. You know, it's just such a shame.
Yes,
it's
yes.
just his career's on the skids, and it's just tragic.
So I waited until almost the very end of our time here, because in true cliffhanger habit, I've got to do it this way. Well, will there be a reboot of Knots Landing?
Well, you know, I feel if there were going to be, it would have happened by now.
Oh!
And this, no, but this year, because we've done a couple reunions, so to speak, which were chit-chats. One was a true episode, you know, with a script and everything. But the last two were just reunions. But this was not, and it's about to end momentarily, their 40th year. Since Knots premiered and had their pilot and the beginning of the show, which ran for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if it were going to happen, I think it would have been during this 40th year. And I don't know why and what kept CBS from doing some sort of you know, reboot, some sort of at least put us all together and, you know, see where are they now. And we're all kind of, Donna, Michelle, and I, as we were doing this thing at the Hollywood Museum, which will be up and running the minute this COVID nightmare is over, you know, we've wondered what's going on here?
Well, I so wish that I had more time with you. You guys, all of you in the cast, certainly were wonderful to watch all those years, and I hope to be able to talk to you again at some point in time. I'm so sorry it's got to end, but all, even cliffhangers have to end at some point. Joan
and
Van
they do.
Ark. Yeah, they do. Joan
and
of Arc.
I wanna say,
yes, yes.
Joan of Arc. You're
yes.
right. My father named me that because he said that's a Joan of Arc in Dutch. Van is of. So, but I just want to say to your listeners, hang in there. Value family because it's the most important. And merry, merry, merry Christmas, happy holidays, all of it. Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, which is just now over, all of it.
Thank you.
Sending love and hugs.
Thank you so very much. Thank you. I hug you back virtually.
Okay, virtually to you too.
Thank you. Thank you. She sounds lovely.